Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are welcome to today's studio session of the Beth Israel Ministries. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We want to deal with certain lies that are being told on the internet. There are a lot of lies that Dr. Damina is telling every day on the internet. It's not as if those lies have not been in existence in the church, but they have been on the low side. There is nothing that is being preached today that was not preached yesterday. That's what you should know. Yesterday means in the past. Amen.
Amen.
It means from the day that gospel started. From the day that gospel started. Are you get what I'm saying? From that day that Jesus Christ left the church in the hand of, started the church by the help of the Holy Ghost. And from the day that the gospel started. Everything you hear being preached today, be it true or false, started immediately. Amen. It started immediately. It's not as if it is after many years then false doctrine started coming in. Alright? Now, let me tell you, doctrines, like I said to you, doctrines are things that existed because the material for doctrine is the scripture. I've told you that the scripture ends at Malachi as far as this Bible is concerned. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and so on, they are not scriptures. They are not what? Scriptures. Amen. They are revelations. Revelation. So what is a scripture? A scripture is that which has been written, which is script. Which it was scripted. Are you know what I'm saying? Written. Amen. And the revelation is that which has been interpreted of the scripture. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation is the scripture that is interpreted. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Joel, it says that the old man shall dream dreams, the young one shall see visions. Okay? The meaning of it is that the old men will dream, the young ones will interpret the dream. What is a vision? The interpretation of a dream. Are you what I'm saying? That is why somebody like Barack Obama succeeded to become a president, because the Americans thought this is Martin Luther King's dream being interpreted. Are you gonna say? So they gave it a support. They gave it a support. But Martin Luther King's dream could be interpreted by anybody. It doesn't have to be a black man that would do it. Because the dream is about a nation where segregation and racism and all kinds of negative vices are removed so that everybody will prosper equally. Any white man can give you that. Any red man can give you that. It don't have to be a black man for the dream of the Martin Luther to come to pass. Okay? The dreamer and the visioner are two different people. The old men will dream dreams and the young men will see vision. That is what the book of Joel said. Amen. And in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And he said, the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see vision. Now, you see, it is seen in the book of Genesis where Pharaoh dreamt. Joseph interpreted the dream. Then Pharaoh took Joseph and made him the prime minister, meaning it is you that can run the vision. It is you that has the vision because you interpreted my dream. So you gave vision to the dream. A dream without a vision is dead. And a vision without a dream is not a vision. So the scripture is what God prepared. God prepared the scripture Okay? When Jesus said, all that the Father had are mine, he was referring to scriptures. That everything that the scripture reveals that the Father has is mine. So now, Jesus Christ came to fulfill scripture, to give meaning to scripture, to give interpretation to scripture. That meaning given to the scripture is what is called revelation. Revelation. Amen. So any revelation in the church that you cannot trace to the scripture is not revelation from God. Now, what people like Abel Damina is saying is this, that the scripture is not perfect. That the New Testament, which is the revelation, is what is used to correct the scripture. So, if the position of the New Testament teaching negates the position of the scripture, then that scripture should be deleted or should be trashed. Do you understand what he's saying now? Which means, when we search the New Testament, we are searching it in order to judge the Old Testament by what the New Testament is saying. Whereas, what Jesus said is that the New Testament will be judged by the Old Testament. He said, I judge nobody, for it is Moses that will judge you because you believed in him and he wrote about me. You get what I'm saying? He said, he wrote about me. Meaning the scripture. He said, ye search the scripture because you think in them is eternal life. And you wouldn't come to me so that I can give you eternal life. But the scriptures are the ones that talk about me. So you see that the scripture becomes the plumb line, the guideline that Jesus used to guide himself. So everything he did was revelation of the scripture. So the scripture is the dream of the Father, and the life of Jesus is the revelation of that dream, is the interpretation of that dream. That's why he said, everything that is written about me in the scripture must come to pass. Paul said, in his study of the scripture, he came upon a passage that says the Gentiles will also be participants in the faith. That is what gave rise, that is what gave him the revelation of going to the Gentiles. Which means if there is no place in the scripture where God predicted that the Gentiles will also be part of this salvation, then Paul going to the Gentiles will be wrong. If he says, God sent me to the Gentiles, they have to ask him to show in the scripture where the Gentiles was to be part of this thing. For they, most of the Jews believe that Jesus is a Messiah of the Jews. Is a Messiah of the Jews. And so this Christianity or this Jesus thing is a Jewish thing. So that is why when Peter went to the house of Cornelius to go and minister to Cornelius, after coming back, he was met with elders who challenged him that he visited the Gentiles and ate with them. Because the Jews, as at that time, didn't believe that this has anything to do, that the Gentiles has any business with this. That is why the Jews who wanted the Gentiles to come in gave conditions to the Gentiles, telling the Gentiles that you must circumcise, because that is how it used to be before. If you want to have the God of Israel as your God, after the Israelite will preach to you about his God, the number one thing is you will have to be circumcised. Are you going to say it? You will have to be circumcised. Amen. When you are circumcised, then you will now pass through some rituals, they will now determine which tribe of Israel you are to be part of. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then you will now belong to that tribe of Israel as a Gentile that is circumcised and has taken the oath that you are now to worship the God of Israel, to abide by the law of Israel. You want to be a citizen in Israel. Now you will have to choose a tribe. So you will be under that tribe. And the rules and the laws and the traditions of that tribe, including the general laws of Israel, you will observe. So the Jews who gave their life to Christ thought this whole Christianity thing is Jewish thing. And if the people must come into Christ, they must also circumcise to belong to the Jews so that they can now enjoy the benefits of their Messiah. So Paul went against it. Paul said, no. That is not so. We can't turn them into Jews in order for them to be born again. Because the scripture tells us that the Gentiles will also come into this thing. And when did the scripture tell us that? God, knowing that the Gentiles will be part of it, he gave circumcision to Abraham when he was still a Gentile, not under the law. Are you saying this? So that the Gentiles will be born again through faith of Abraham. Okay, the same faith that Abraham showed God outside the law. Not by the works of the law, but by faith in God. Abraham was not a lawgiver, a law keeper. There was no law that he came under. It is by faith in God that he began to follow God through faith. And then God gave him the sign of circumcision for his biological children. They will be circumcised in the flesh. But he himself was circumcised by faith under the law and not under the law. Amen. So that it becomes a symbol that the Gentiles will give their life to Christ and they will be circumcised in their hearts. Are you going to say this? Their hearts, their spirit will be circumcised. Their human spirit will be circumcised by faith in Christ. So they don't need to become Jews in order for them to enjoy Christ. That's what Paul was saying. And Paul told us that the reason he went to the Gentiles was because he saw it in the scripture that the Gentiles will also be part of this faith. And he received an understanding that he was commissioned by God to fulfill that part of the scripture, to interpret that part of the scripture, to bring about the revelation of that scripture. So the entire journey of Paul to the Gentile world, most of the apostles, when they traveled, they went to the Jewish community in that country. So initially, Barnabas and Paul used to travel and go to the Jewish community in that country. But when the Jews opposed them, they now shook off the dust of their shoes and they shook their garment and say, we no longer will go to the Jews anymore. We will go straight to the Gentiles. So from that time, when Paul and Barnabas went out, they did not seek out the Jewish community in that place. They went straight to the Gentiles and tried to win the Gentiles for Christ. And it happened that when they told the Gentiles or the non-Jews this testimony of one Messiah that died to save them, that by faith, so many Gentiles believed that the Jews now became envious. So the Jews accused Paul that Paul went to the Gentiles because of money. Why? Because the Jews know what to do to ministers that minister to them. If a Jew come to a town, he finds a synagogue in that time. And if he is a minister, he will now be given opportunity to tell the people what the Lord is telling him. He will preach using the scripture to the people. When he finished, the people will collect for him offerings. All right? And send him on his journey. That is how the Jews, the Jewish priests and rabbis, were able to move from town to town with the aid of the resources that is being given to them. They move on to the next city. So they said that Paul chose the Gentile, that is a larger community, so that he can trick them, deceive them, to give money, offering, tithes. That is why Paul now said, if that be the case, he will not eat from the ministry. That naturally, a man that ministered at the altar ought to eat from the altar. A man that tended the fig tree ought to eat the fig tree. You can't be tending, you can't be working in the civil service and it's not the civil service that is feeding you. You can't be working as a soldier and it is not the army that is feeding you. Okay? So everywhere you labor, that's where you are supposed to eat from. So Paul said it is his right to eat from the ministry because he has left everything that he was doing to answer the call of the ministry. Therefore, the ministry ought to feed him. But he will forfeit this right because of his accusers who are saying that he went to the Gentiles so that he can have more money. Do you understand? So he said, he humbled himself and took a profession that was not his own, because Paul was a learned man. He was a lawyer by profession. He read law, international law. Then he now specialized. He now had his PhD in his own, the law of his own country. He lived among his people and then joined politics. This thing you call Pharisee and Sadducee. They are like PDP and APC. They are political houses. Amen? There is no Pharisee professionally. But they had ideology, just like political parties have ideology. Republican and Democrats. Okay? So the Pharisees and the Sadducees are made up of different professionals, of different professions, who are into politics. So Paul's father was a politician, and he was of the sect of the Pharisee. So when Paul came back, and he came to aid and to help his people develop the law of their land, and the worship of their God is one is engraved in that law. There's no religion in Israel. There's no religion. You don't separate God from government. You don't separate God from daily life in Israel. No. The worship of God is just one of the contents of the entire constitution of Israel. So Moses did not give them a religion. Moses was a political leader who was called of God to lead his people out of Egypt and to constitute a nation out of them. And the first thing to do when you're constituting a nation is provide law. So God gave him the templates of the law, which is the Ten Commandments. This is the end result of the law. The remaining things that you will be told will only work together to make sure that these laws are obeyed. If you keep all the instructions I will give you, you will not break any one of these commandments. So all the laws given by Moses, given to Moses by angels on issues of tradition, on issues of marriage, on issues of land, property, and anything, the law covered every aspect of the Jewish life. Okay? So when you are sitting down here, there are those who are writing the law for this land. And that law must take into cognizance every detailed aspect of this land. So in Nigeria, the constitution of Nigeria, when you say something is constituted, it's like saying constitution of egusi soup. It's made up of egusi, water, oil, and all the ingredients you put inside. So if you say, how do I cook egusi soup? Give me the constitution of egusi soup. Then the person will write the list for you. buy these items. You buy the items and bring it. Then they now begin to show you how to mix the item to result in egusi soup. So anyone that knows what egusi soup is constituted of can cook egusi soup. Do you understand? So when they say constitution, it means the things that make up a people, the constitution of a land. So in Nigeria's constitution, Christianity is inside. Islam is inside. So if a Muslim kills a Christian, he's violating the constitution. If a Christian kills a Muslim, he's violating the constitution. But if in the constitution, Christianity was not inside, and Islam kills a Christian, he has not violated constitution. Because Christianity is not inside the constitution. So why we practice Christianity openly, why the church can buy land and do whatever they want on that land and carry out church activities, because the constitution of this country recognizes Christianity in it. So what Nigeria, if you want to eat the soup called Nigeria, you must eat the meat called Christianity and eat the meat called Islam. So you must leave the crayfish must live in the same pot with the prawn, and if you want to cut snake inside, the crayfish will not jump out of the pot because the snake has been brought in. You are the one that want to eat snake inside the soup. So now, in the constitution of Israel, God is first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and shall have no other God before me. That is number one of the constitution. Inside that constitution, honor your father and mother inside. So everything that daily activities of this life were invested in that constitution of Israel. So there is no religion in Israel. Everything was the worship of God, was the temple, is life, is their day-to-day life. So Moses was not a religious leader. Moses was a political leader, like founding father of a nation. Just like George Washington. Just like Nnamdi Azikiwe. That is how Moses was. He was like the chief founding father of the nation of Israel. Included in the founding fathers was Aaron and Miriam, the sister of Aaron, and some elders. They were also founding fathers. But Moses was the main founding father. And they were to found a nation, not a religion. So the laws was to build up a nation in the wilderness in preparation to transporting them into their own land, where they will not stay in that land now, trying to know what to do or what not to do. They already have been constituted into tribes of different tongues, into occupations by the blessing of their father. Their occupations were already designed. They were already constituted. So now it's to root them out of the wilderness and plant them in Canaan. And it's like the nursery is the wilderness, and Canaan is where they are going to now grow into the fullness of this constitution. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the script that God wrote from Genesis to Malachi covers every aspect of human experience. Death, life, grave, evil, good, spirits, angels, man. And in order for it to be so, God allowed angels to have interaction with men, to have contact with men, so that men will know angels exist. So that it can enter into the script. They also allow Satan, so that men will know Satan exists, so that it enters into the script. So the script was written. Everything was captured in the script. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So that a people were coming who will now take this script and give life to it and interpret it Jesus became the founder of the movement of revelation. The people that fulfilled script. Just like Moses became the founder of the script. So without a script, there cannot be a revelation. Without a dream, there cannot be an interpretation. So if any part of the script is trashed, the interpretation will fall short of its expectations. And that is what Abel Damina does not understand about gospel. That it is so dangerous to trash even one verse of the script. Because you think the verse did not correspond with something in the New Testament. And to use the New Testament to judge the Old Testament is foolishness of the highest order. Because it is the script that is used to judge the revelation. So when they ask Jesus Christ, why are you saying you are the Messiah? Does the Messiah come from Nazareth? He will take you to the script and show you where it is written. He shall be called a Nazarene. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
He shall be called a Nazarene. Because Nazareth, like I told you, is a city carved out by the Jews to keep those Jews who returned from captivity that could not prove their lineage. So instead of denying them, they don't know whether they come from the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Levi, because they have tokens that they use to prove where they come from. Either a mark, just like in the Yoruba land, you see a Egba mark, then you see Oshobo mark, you see the mark of Ogbomoso, so that with those marks, if you are a person that was lost and you were found, they don't need to ask you which tribe you belong to. Because of the marks, they can see you belong to Ogbomoso, you belong to Oshobo, you belong to Osun, because of the marks. So every Jew had a means of proving his lineage or his tribe. But some people who were, like now, most of the Jews that went into captivity, they married from that country. And their third generation were the ones who came back. So those people did not have the knowledge of who their father was, what tribe it was, because they kind of were lost. But they know that they have Jewish blood. And they belong to the Jewish culture and nation. But since they can't prove themselves properly, they carved out what is called refuge cities. For refugees, they treated them like refugees. Those who come to seek refuge in the land, instead of driving them, so they let them stay there. And those refuge cities, Nazareth fell among one of them. So, the one that is to be the Messiah, the leader of the Jewish people, how come that he grows among refugees? Meaning he cannot determine his lineage. That is why they were calling Jesus a bastard. Who is your father? Why were you living in Nazareth? If you claim to come from Bethlehem, a big tribe like Judah, how come you lived in Nazareth? Because the Jews did not identify fully with the Nazarenes and with those in those cities. Why? Because those people were neither Jews nor Gentiles. They had Jewish blood, Gentile blood, and they were not fully accepted as Jews. So why would the Messiah of the Jews be coming from Nazareth? Meaning they were telling Jesus, Joseph is not really your father. You don't have the token to prove that you come from Bethlehem. You are a Gentile's child. Your father is a bastard. But the scripture covered it, that he shall be called a Nazarene. So if he couldn't prove from the script that he shall be called a Nazarene, then he will have no way to prove what he was doing in Nazareth.